And welcome back to the second half of Earth First Radio. We're going to get right on into climate news here. The temperatures in the United States finished out 1999 as the second warmest year on record since 1900, topped only by 1998's all-time high mark, according to the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. NOAA said its projections show Americans have experienced an average in 1999 of 55.7 degrees Fahrenheit, and this follows the year before 1998's record high of 56.4 degrees. Now, that's average, folks. Temperatures for the last 2 years have followed in step with a long-term warming trend seen this century, with most of the warming occurring since the mid-1970s, and in addition to warmer temperatures, the agency said precipitation ebbed on the average, dropping a little over an inch below normal levels to a projected 30.6 inches, despite heavy local rainfall in the Pacific Northwest due to La Nina conditions. But record dryness was seen in the Northeast, Mid-Atlantic, and Ohio valleys as a result of last summer's drought. The April to July period was the driest or second driest ever in all states from West Virginia to Maine. The drought was followed by record rainfall, however, from Hurricanes Dennis and Floyd along the East Coast. NOAA said records were also posted in the number of unusual winter tornadoes last January. More than 70 tornadoes also occurred during a May outbreak, making 1999 the fourth busiest year for storms, with 1,225 tornadoes reported. And the agency said 94 people died last year as a result of those tornadoes. NOAA also said, as predicted by the National Weather Service scientists, a busier-than-normal hurricane season with 12 tropical storms, 8 that became hurricanes, and 5 of those were major hurricanes, including the aforementioned Dennis and Floyd. And in other climate news, speaking on BBC Radio 4 environment program Costing the Earth, Mrs. Chaudhry, the Bangladeshi environmental minister, said the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change was predicting a 17.5% of Bangladesh's landmass could be lost beneath the waves. That's 1 square mile in every 6 in the country of Bangladesh. Approximately 20 million people will become ecological refugees. Where shall we move such a huge population? It's an incredible task, so I would request that developed countries of the world rethink your immigration policies for the survival of refugees from various small island states and low-lying coastal states like Bangladesh. The UK Environment Minister Michael Meacher acknowledged that immigration was a matter for the Home Office, told the program, "We may have to do what Mrs. Chaudhry says, but what we really have to do is to try and prevent the cause. That means ratifying the Kyoto Protocol on reducing greenhouse gas emissions, and the message is mainly to the United States, which is responsible for 25% of the world's greenhouse gas emissions." Mr. Meacher said that Kyoto was only a first modest faltering step because it would only deliver emission cuts of about 5% from 1990 levels, while most scientists say that cuts of 60% or more would be needed to stabilize greenhouse gas concentrations at no more than twice their pre-industrial levels. Here's the genetic engineering news of the week. Snack maker Frito-Lay Incorporated has asked its hundreds of contract farmers to grow corn that has not been genetically modified in case U.S. consumers shun biologically engineered products. Frito-Lay, a unit of PepsiCo Incorporated and maker of Doritos and Tostitos corn chips, bought 1.2 billion pounds of U.S. corn last year. More than 95% of its corn is bought from farmers who hold contracts with the company, a spokeswoman said. The Food and Drug Administration has deemed genetically engineered food safe for human consumption, but just in case, it held 3 public hearings late last year to gauge consumer concern. "The bottom line is we're stepping back and seeing what happens," Frito-Lay spokeswoman Lean Markley said. Frito-Lay has no immediate plans to promote its product as free of biotech ingredients. An estimated 60% of packaged foods sold in U.S. supermarkets have genetically engineered ingredients. And in other good news, Menards, the third largest home improvement retailer in the United States, announced that the company plans to stop selling wood from endangered old-growth forests by 2003. Rainforest Action Network has waged a 6-month-long campaign against the Wisconsin-based Menards, including a day of action against Menards stores in more than a dozen cities. 17 activists were arrested during those protests. Menards has joined a growing movement among powerful Wood consumers who recognize that selling old-growth wood is unacceptable, declared Rainforest Action Network old-growth campaign director Michael Brune. It's no longer a question of whether home improvement stores will stop selling old-growth wood, but when. Other corporations who have phased out old-growth forest products or who have pledged to phase out old-growth forest products, we're still waiting for them to make good on that pledge, by the way. Home Depot, Wix, Lumber, and Home Base. Brune added, now that Menards and Home Depot are setting high standards for wood products, even though they may not be delivering such, it is high time for 84 Lumber, Payless, Cashways, Lanoga Corporation, and others to follow suit. You want more information? Try www.ran.org. And the Northern Rockies Ecosystem Protection Act, H.R. 488, that's 488, also known as NREPA, is off to its best start ever with the 106th Congress. There are 82 congressional sponsors. No current environmental proposal matches the Northern Rockies Ecosystem Protection Act for size, sweep, and sheer brassy-ass political nerve, according to Outside Magazine. NREPA protects more than 20 million acres of federal land in the Northern Rockies bioregion as wilderness, natural preserves, and biological corridors. The bill also designates 1,800 miles of new wild and scenic rivers and creates 2,300 new wildlands restoration jobs. NREPA saves taxpayers $100 million by preventing below-cost timber sales and road building. H.R. 488 goes beyond arbitrary state boundaries to protect entire naturally functioning wildland systems in the states of Idaho, Montana, Wyoming, Eastern Oregon, and Washington. The Northern Rockies contain the largest intact forests on the Earth's temperate zones and still support virtually all the native plant and animal species that were there at the time of the Lewis and Clark expedition. Free-roaming populations of grizzly bear, gray wolf, bison, woodland caribou, wolverines, mountain goats, anadromous salmon, and trout are still found. Please contact your House representative and have them support and sign on to H.R. 488, also known as the Northern Rockies Ecosystem Protection Act. Here's a letter to the Sacramento Bee concerning the California Department of Forestry. Reads, logging ban for old trees rejected. The California Department of Forestry's decision not to adopt emergency rules prohibiting the logging of old growth for a 120-day period was clearly an error. The question of whether or not an emergency exists has an unequivocally clear answer, yes. In northwestern California, the Humboldt Martin, a mammalian carnivore, has not been seen for 50 years until recently because of intensive logging in its old growth habitats. In 1996, a paper was published by scientists saying the marten might be extinct, but later that year a specimen was photographed that was very likely a Humboldt marten, indicating a very endangered population exists. If a species can be so elusive that no one confirms a sighting for 50 years, clearly an emergency exists. Likewise, regulations and exemptions from federal law may drive to extinction the Californian endangered populations of salmon and steelhead trout. The Board of Forestry's decision clearly reflects a bias towards the timber industry, a lack of accountability to the public and credible science, and a need for reform. And I want to thank Scott Schroeder for that letter to the Sacramento Bee. Scott lives in Nevada City. In other California news, the National Parks Conservation Association, or NPCA, filed a lawsuit against the Bureau of Land Management over the establishment of the nation's largest landfill on the border of the Joshua Tree National Park. If constructed, the Eagle Mountain landfill will bring up to 20,000 tons of garbage per day to the doorstep of Joshua Tree National Park and do so for 170 years. That's 117 years, according to Brian Hoos, NPCA's Pacific Region Director. Strong opposition from the National Park Service to the BLM did no good because they transferred public lands to the dump developers and issued rights of way, allowing garbage to be hauled by train and truck across other BLM lands critical to the survival of the threatened desert tortoise. Real bummer, squashing tortoises under trash trucks. The California Coastal Commission has passed a resolution critical of Mitsubishi Corporation's plans to build a salt factory in Baja California Sur in Mexico. The commission wrote, the Mitsubishi Corporation's proposed construction of the world's largest salt factory at Laguna San Ignacio threatens to disrupt the health, integrity, and biological productivity of lagoon ecosystems as a result of, among other factors, increased salinity, diminution of water quality, ship traffic, noise, and contamination. The resolution passed 9-1 and followed testimony by Mitsubishi Vice President Stephen Wachelblatt, attorney Richard Lyman of the Richardson & Associates on behalf of the Government of Mexico's Commerce Secretary, Mark Spaulding of the International Fund for Animal Welfare and Joel Reynolds of the Natural Resources Defense Council. And the Supreme Court will not reconsider a lower court decision denying Pacific Lumber Company of Scotia, California, nearly $700,000 in legal fees. The fee claim arose from Arbol Murlett versus Babbitt, a federal lawsuit filed by the Environmental Protection Information Center, also known as EPIC. And they're in Garberville, California. They filed suit in 1995 seeking to halt Pacific Lumber's salvage logging operations in the old-growth groves of Headwaters Forest. Although Pacific Lumber won the case, the U.S. District Court in San Francisco rejected the company's claim that it was entitled to legal fees. The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals agreed, and on January 18th, the Supreme Court declined to review Pacific Lumber's final appeal. Pacific Lumber obviously pursued this claim as a form of harassment, says EPIC Executive Director Paul Mason. And letters are needed to protect the Burham Ranch. The Burham Ranch is located in Orange County, and it's part of a critical linkage between the Santiago Oaks Regional Park, Irvine Regional Park, and the future Weir Canyon Regional Park. It's located entirely within the Natural Communities Conservation Plan. That's an HCP for Southern California. The property includes hiking, mountain biking, and horse trails. Mature oaks and sycamores are ideal for picnickers and families and provide homes for a vast array of native plant and animal species. Although the NCCP selected these 526 acres for protection in 1996, recent development projects in East Orange have threatened to destroy this pristine wildlife habitat. Besides creating a barrier in this critical wildlife corridor, the extensive grading required to develop the Barham Ranch would seriously degrade the wilderness nature of all three surrounding parks. As a hub of the three surrounding parks, Barham Ranch provides critical wildlife paths. This linkage allows access among the parks for park visitors, as well as a diversity of ranging animals. There have been mountain lion, mule deer, and raccoon sightings there. The bummer is that the 526-acre parcel is presently owned by two public entities, the Serrano Water District and the Orange Unified School District. Barham Ranch is being considered for purchase by a developer who wants to construct 600 homes. All right, what do you do about it? Well, you can write some letters, and it needs to be done real quick. Write to the Serrano Water District. Their address, 18021 East Lincoln in Villa Park, California. That's the Serrano Water District, 18021 East Lincoln in Villa Park, California, the zip code 92867. And also write to the Orange Unified School District. And their address is 1401 Handy Street, Orange, California, 92863. Once again, the Orange Unified School District, 1401 Handy Street in Orange, California, 92863. Let them know that you don't want the Barham Ranch property sold. If you want more information, go to the following webpage, www.barhamranch.org. That's Barham Ranch, all one word, .org. And the folks down there in Southern California, thank you for that effort. Moving to Colorado, 15 groups from U.S. and Mexico have notified the U.S. government that they intend to bring suit to protect the Colorado River ecosystem on both sides of the border. The groups blame the Bureau of Reclamation, Fish and Wildlife Service, National Marine Fisheries Service, Army Corps of Engineers, and other federal agencies for allowing water users to drain the river and destroy riverside habitat. Today's action represents a first formal step to rectify the biological, legal, and ethical wrongs the U.S. government has wrought upon Mexico's biodiversity, said Roger Schlickenhuysen, president of Defenders of Wildlife. Whether we will resolve this matter by litigation or cooperation is a question that should be addressed to the White House. So please do. That 60-day notice was filed December 15th. In a few days now, they will actually be filing that suit. So, president@whitehouse.gov. And three environmental groups have filed suit for the second time against the U.S. Forest Service to prevent a timber sale in the Kaibab National Forest in Arizona. Last month, the Center for Biological Diversity, the Sierra Club, and the Southwest Forest Alliance appealed the Dry Park timber sale on the Kaibab. In response to an earlier appeal, the timber sale was withdrawn for failing to consider the impact of old-growth logging on elk, turkey, deer, pygmy nuthatches, and the Kaibab squirrel. The forest also violated its own northern goshawk protection guidelines by failing to designate and protect nest areas from logging. The U.S. Forest Service has reissued the sale, proposing to log more than 6,000 old-growth ponderosa pines on the Kaibab Plateau, one of the few areas left in North America with any significant expanse of old-growth Ponderosa. The entire Kaibab Plateau, including the Kaibab National Forest, was designated the Grand Canyon Game Preserve by Theodore Roosevelt in 1907, though Roosevelt declared that the forest should be protected in perpetuity and not sacrificed to the short-sighted greed of the few. The U.S. Forest Service maintains the preserve is a meaningless designation which does not limit logging. The group say the U.S. Forest Service also ignored the fact that 200,000 acres of the plateau, including part of the Dry Park timber sale, lie within the Department of Interior's Kaibab Squirrel National Natural Landmark. Say that three times really quick. The environmental groups have launched a campaign to designate the entire Kaibab Plateau as Northern Goshawk Old Growth Preserve and Research Area. And moving to Idaho, after 6.5 years of legal wrangling and much public controversy, the Idaho Land Board has awarded Idaho Watersheds Project 2 grazing leases on over 1,200 acres of Idaho school endowment land. For more than a century, these 10-year leases have been awarded only to ranchers for grazing cattle or sheep. And finally, in 1993, IWP filed its first lease application ever by a conservation organization in order to remove livestock and let damaged riparian areas recover from years of abusive livestock management. The first lease application for 640 acres included a mile of salmon spawning stream known as Lake Creek, a tributary of the East Fork of the Salmon River in central Idaho. Under Idaho law and the state constitution, when two or more applicants apply for a grazing lease, an auction must be held. The first time IWP bid on the Lake Creek lease, the rancher refused a bid but was still awarded the lease. The second time an auction was held after the Idaho Supreme Court threw out the first award, the rancher bid $10 and IWP bid $2,000. Following that auction, the lease was again awarded to the rancher by the land board. After yet another victory in court, the third auction for this lease was held on February 4th. In the intervening 6 years, IWP has applied for over 80,000 acres of expiring grazing leases in the Idaho School Endowment land. The auctions have resulted from those applications would have raised over $70,000 for the Idaho School Endowment Fund. However, in all cases in which IWP was the high bidder until this year, the land board awarded the lease to the low-bidding rancher. In 1995, the Idaho legislature passed a law which gave absolute preference to ranchers for these leases and set up a qualification process designed to prevent anyone but ranchers from qualifying at the auction for the leases. In fighting the system, IWP has won 4 separate cases before the Idaho Supreme Court, including 3 in one day. All the decisions by the court were unanimous and resulted in the invalidation of various unconstitutional aspects of the law, as well as the termination of 26 grazing leases. The recent award of the leases that IWP won at auction in 1999 signals a realization on the part of the Idaho Land Board that ranchers can no longer be held above the law. IWP and other groups or individuals can now compete on an equal basis to help restore these lands. You want more information? Call the Idaho Watershed Project, 208-788-2290. That's 208-788-2290. Or you can send email to idwp@idahowatersheds.org. That's idwp@idahowatersheds.org. And so far, only one buffalo has tried to migrate out of Yellowstone Park this winter. The Montana Department of Livestock has decided that this old bull can't even have a little winter peace. They have been harassing him, and they also assaulted one of our volunteers with a snowmobile. It is ridiculous that a bull buffalo at this time of year poses any risk of transmitting brucellosis, which is only transmitted by cow buffalo. Montana's so-called reason for hazing and slaughtering the buffalo is prevention of brucellosis among cattle. It is further proof that Montana has only one agenda, zero tolerance of any buffalo leaving Yellowstone, and they want complete control of the herd. Montana's policy of controlling buffalo movement and population levels in the guise of brucellosis management has become painfully apparent in their recent maneuvers. Even the U.S. government has publicly stated that Montana is acting irrationally and without any scientific basis. They say that Montana no longer wants to try and work on this issue with the state as a co-lead agency. And they recently filed a petition in federal court to dissolve the memorandum of understanding that bound the federal agencies with Montana as co-leads on the long-term buffalo management EIS in Montana and Yellowstone. What can you do? Well, you can write a letter to the governor of Montana. And let's see, that address is Montana Governor, Capitol Building, Helena, Montana, 59620. Montana Governor, Capitol Building, Helena, Montana, 59620, or you can give Mark a call, that's the governor, at 406-444-3111. That's 406-444-3111. Pity the governor hasn't figured out how to use email yet. We hear that Alaska is about to kill 375 wolves. The Alaska Board of Game approved a controversial wolf control plan that calls for killing nearly three-quarters of the 500 wolves in the Nechilna Basin of Alaska. The stated purpose of the killing is to increase moose and caribou populations in the region for hunting. Killing wolves have never been shown to increase moose and caribou populations, but according to the Anchorage Daily News, the board endorsed the plan and then directed the State Department of Fish and Game to attempt to gain public acceptance. Governor Tony Knowles has said he will not implement a wolf kill program without broad public support, but the department intends to gain that through an aggressive marketing campaign for the plan. The board also considered a plan to kill black bears, but rejected the idea because of the damage it does to the image of hunters. Citizens can contact Governor Knowles at governor@gov.state.ak.us. That's governor@gov.state.ak.us, or give him a call, the number 907-465-3500. 907-465-3500, or more information, you can contact Wildlife Damage Review at wdr@azstarnet.com, wdr@azstarnet.com. And American Lands and a coalition of conservation and scientific organizations filed a petition with the Fish and Wildlife Service to list the Gunnison sage grouse as endangered. Like the widely ranged northern sage grouse, the Gunnison sage grouse depends on large undisturbed expanses of sagebrush steppe habitat found in Colorado, Utah, Arizona, New Mexico, and Oklahoma. Today, only remnant populations of the bird exist in Colorado and Utah. Habitat has been degraded by livestock grazing, agricultural and suburban development, herbicides, invasive species, and ORVs. Regrettably, the Fish and Wildlife Service is failing to list species or protect their habitat in a timely manner. Protecting the sage grouse could have significant impacts on the livestock industry across the entire region. The Gunnison sage grouse is an indicator and keystone species for an ecosystem that is in obvious decline, said Mark Salvo, grasslands advocate for American Lands. For more information, contact Mark at mark@sagegrouse.org, mark@sagegrouse.org, or 503-978-1054. That's 503-978-1054. And unfortunately, that's all the time we have for news here on Earth First Radio. To get news or announcements from your bioregion to Earth First Radio, send us email at cruzef@cruzio.com. That's cruzef@cruzio.com. Or send your letters to Earth First Radio. We're at P.O. Box 344, Santa Cruz, California, 95061. Once again, that's Earth First Radio, P.O. Box 344, Santa Cruz, California, 95061. Be sure to send all those announcements at least 3 weeks in advance. If you want more in-depth news and information about the Earth First movement, please contact the Earth First Journal and get a subscription. Their address is P.O. Box 1415, Eugene, Oregon, 97440. They will send you a free sample. Once again, that's the Earth First Journal, P.O. Box 1415, Eugene, Oregon, 97440. You can hear Earth First Radio live on Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM, every Thursday evening at 8 p.m. in Santa Cruz, California. Or you can listen to Earth First Radio on your computer on the World Wide Web at www.radioforall.net. That is a new web address, so pay attention, www.radioforall.net. And it's the number 4 in there. You'll need a sound card in your computer, but the software you need is free on the website. Earth First Radio is carried on a growing number of free speech and non-commercial radio stations. Be sure to ask your local station to rebroadcast Earth First Radio. Earth First Radio is produced in the studios of Free Radio Santa Cruz and is affiliated with the Earth First Radio Network. Portions of this newscast were prepared with the help of Eon Blues. Our theme music was written and performed by Daryl Cherney off the CD Keep It Wild. I'm Uncle Dennis. I want to thank you for listening to Earth First Radio. And let's head on out into the ozone with some Daryl Cherney. This one's off his Timber cassette. This one's called Earth Night Action.
Now, Earth Day 1990 was Dennis Hay. phases vision, but they're keeping us together. It only caused division. He said, turn down your thermostat and recycle toilet paper. And as long as they contribute, don't confront the corporate rapers. Now there were these griping dissidents holed up in Santa Cruz. They were pondering this problem, smoking joints and drinking booze. They said Earth Day has sold out, thinking they could not get caught. So we've come up with a concept, one we know that can't be bought. We'll have an Earth Night action, yeah, it's a splinter faction. We're gonna take down power lines tonight. We'll have an Earth Night. It's an Earth Day reaction. Yes, Santa Cruz ain't gonna have no lights. Now some folks said, hey, Santa Cruz just had a big earthquake, and a toppling their power lines was a tactical mistake. But big mountains feeding them their coal, Prince William Sound their oil. Hey, I'm sorry if their fridge went dead and their TV dinner spoiled. We'll have an Earth Night. It's instant satisfaction. We're gonna take down power lines tonight. We'll have an Earth Night action. It's an Earth Day reaction. Yes, Santa Cruz ain't gonna have no lights. In San Luis Obispo, they've got Diablo nuke, but the best that they could fight it with were some songs that made me puke. PG&E has got a go, but it seems so damn complex. But Earth Night has the answer. Diablo Canyon's next. Yeah! We'll have an Earth Night action. It's a felony infraction. We're gonna take down power lines tonight. We'll have an Earth Night action. It's an Earth Day reaction. Yes, Santa Cruz ain't gonna have no lights. San Luis Obispo ain't gonna have no lights. L.A. ain't gonna have no lights.
Oh my God.
Houston ain't gonna have no lights. New York ain't gonna have no lights.
What the fuck?
Gay Paris ain't gonna have no lights. Moscow ain't gonna have no lights.
Hey, hey, hey!
Tokyo ain't gonna have no lights.